Hey there, and welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into Dane Jensen's The Power of Pressure. Sophie, I've got to ask, when you hear the word pressure, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
Hey there, Sam.
Honestly, my first thought is that feeling right before a big presentation, like my heart's racing and my palms are sweaty. And I think most of us treat that as something to avoid, right? But Jensen's whole point is that pressure isn't the villain we make it out to be.
Okay, so what is it then? Because I've definitely used the phrase, I work best under pressure, but I've also dreamed of a life with zero deadlines and no expectations.
Right, and that's the paradox he starts with. He says pressure is not the same as stress. Stress is just that overloaded feeling. Pressure is more specific. It only shows up when something you deeply care about is on the line.
So you can't feel pressure about something you're indifferent to. That means pressure is basically a byproduct of passion. If you want a life without pressure, you'd have to stop caring about anything.
Exactly.
That's the core redefinition. The executive in a board meeting, the athlete at the free throw line, the parent watching their kid struggle, those are all pressure moments because there's real investment.
And that reframing alone is huge. Instead of seeing pressure as a malfunction, it's a signal that you're engaged in something that matters. But how do you actually handle it in the moment? Because that's where I tend to freeze up.
That's where his three-phase framework comes in. He breaks down a pressure event into three parts: the heat of the moment, the learning loop, and the big picture. It's a roadmap for navigating high-stakes situations.
Okay, let's start with the heat. That's the split second before you go on stage, or the final minutes of a close game. Our biology kind of betrays us there, doesn't it?
Totally. That's the fight or flight response flooding you with cortisol and adrenaline. It narrows your focus and often hurts your performance. But here's the twist. Jensen says the key isn't to try to calm down because that's nearly impossible.
So what do you do instead? Just ride the wave?
You reframe the sensation. He talks about arousal as a neutral state. That racing heart, those sweaty palms, they're not signs of panic. They're signs of readiness. So instead of saying I'm nervous, you say I'm excited.
And that's not just positive thinking. It sounds a little like you were just lying to yourself.
I actually pushed back on that at first too, but he argues it's a strategic reframing. You're not a victim of your biology. You're its operator. You're aligning your physical state with the task at hand.
Okay, I can get behind that. What else does he suggest for the heat of the moment?
He has this idea of controlling the controllables. When pressure hits, your mind races to worst-case scenarios, things you can't influence. The antidote is to focus ruthlessly on the process.
So like a surgeon doesn't think about the patient's long-term survival while making an incision. They just think about the precise angle of the scalpel.
Exactly. A speaker doesn't think about audience approval. They think about the next sentence. By shrinking your focus to the immediate physical action, you starve the pressure of its power.
And he also has those mental rehearsal tools, right? The pre-mortem and the pre-parade.
Yeah, before a big event, you imagine it went terribly wrong and ask what caused it. That helps you spot pitfalls. Then you imagine it went perfectly and figure out what you did right. That builds a blueprint for success.
Those are great, but what happens after the event? Because I tend to either bask in success or wallow in failure and then just move on.
That's the learning loop. Jensen says most of us treat pressure events as isolated, but they're actually opportunities to learn. He advocates for a disciplined debrief, not for blame, but for data.
So you ask what worked and what didn't. That sounds like a growth mindset in action.
Exactly.
People with a fixed mindset see a failure as a verdict on their identity. They think, I failed, therefore I'm a failure. A growth mindset sees it as feedback. Jensen pushes that further by making it structured.
How do you make it structured? Do you keep a journal or something?
He actually suggests keeping a pressure journal. You document the outcome, the emotions, the thoughts, and the physical sensations. Over time, you spot patterns. Maybe you perform better when you're slightly hungry, or you rush your breathing before a hard conversation.
That's smart. You become a scientist of your own reactions instead of a stranger to them.
Right. And then there's the third phase, the big picture. This is where it gets philosophical.
Okay, I'm ready. Hit me.
He argues that we can't manage pressure unless we understand its source. Why do we care so much? Often it's because we've allowed one domain, usually work, to define our entire self-worth.
He calls that identity stacking, right? When a bad quarter at work feels like a catastrophic failure, because it feels like a failure of the whole self.
Yes. The solution is to build a life with multiple sources of meaning. If your identity is built on being a parent, a friend, an athlete, and a professional, then a setback in one area is just a setback, not a catastrophe.
It's like diversifying your emotional portfolio. He also talks about a meaning audit, doesn't he?
He does. You list what truly matters to you, then check how much time and energy you actually invest in those things. The gap between what we say we value and what we do is a huge source of pressure.
So when your actions match your values, the pressure feels cleaner. It's productive tension, not toxic anxiety.
Exactly. And that leads to what he calls the pressure paradox. The most meaningful moments in life, like a wedding day or a career-defining project, are almost always the most pressure-filled.
So if you try to eliminate pressure, you eliminate the possibility of deep fulfillment. The goal isn't to lower the stakes. It's to raise your capacity to handle them.
Right.
Feeling pressure is not a sign you're doing something wrong. It's a sign you're doing something right.
And he also talks about recovery. That's something we skip a lot in our culture.
Oh, totally. He says sustainable pressure management requires deliberate rest. Like a muscle, you can't lift weights 24/7. You need rest days to repair and grow.
He calls it strategic withdrawal, creating rituals that signal to your nervous system that the pressure is off. A walk without your phone, a conversation with no agenda, a hobby just for fun.
Yeah, those aren't a waste of time. They're the recovery phase of the learning loop. They let you go back into the heat with a full tank.
And what about fear? I mean, everyone says you need to be fearless, but that's not realistic.
Jensen doesn't tell you to be fearless. He says courage is not the absence of fear, it's the willingness to act in its presence. The best performers are scared and do it anyway.
He has that great phrase, facing the dragon. You voluntarily put yourself in pressure situations to build tolerance. It's like inoculation.
Exactly.
Elite athletes practice with the game on the line so that when it happens for real, it feels familiar. It's not a stranger, it's an old friend.
That's a powerful image. So after reading this, what's the one thing you're actually taking away?
For me, it's that pressure is a privilege. It means you care deeply about something, and that's what makes life vibrant. So instead of asking, how can I get rid of this pressure? I'm starting to ask, what is this pressure asking me to become?
That's a shift I can get behind. And honestly, if you want to go deeper, the whole library is over at 7minutebooks.com/app. There are over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it's just $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access.
And that's the real power of pressure. It forces you to be fully alive in a moment that matters. We'll see you in the next one.